Before we pray, I would like to read from Psalms 20. Psalms 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. He grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for your living word, which you kept for us thousands of years. Today so fresh, as on the day when you spoke it out, or at the hour when it was written down, not only for a memorial, but as a speaking of God for all times, addressed to those whom you would address. Today we are here, gathered in the high and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in your presence. O God, don't look just from heaven down, but let the heaven come down and come into our midst. Put up thy camp in the pillar of fire, in the pillar of cloud, amidst thy people, for thy name's sake. You revealed yourself to Moses, and then to all the people. Lord, you have revealed yourself to your prophet also in our generation. Let the hour come in which you reveal yourself to thy people, which you laid out with a strong hand. We are longing for it more than the watchmen of the night for the morning, and as the ones who are thirsty for water, and as the ones who are hungry for bread. Lord, you have put this spiritual longing into us. You have given promises by your grace. You will fulfill them. For you stand to your word. Lord, I place myself with all those with whom we are gathered in your presence, very consciously under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Sanctify the hearts and the thoughts, purge them. Purify lips and tongue. Lord, be thou present. You are holy, and we shall be holy. Holy is thy word, and sanctified are all in the truth who hear it and who receive it by faith. Faithful God, we recognize the seriousness of the hour, and we ask you, let us not belong to those who are deceived on the day when you return. Lord, speak with us as never before. Hit with the hammer of your word and with the sword of your spirit, and let it be like a fire which consumes everything. Lord, we no longer want to be just children with whom you have nothing but sorrow and trouble. We want to become obedient sons and daughters, growing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Make out of us people whom you can entrust something, people on whom you can rely on. My God, I know it's a hard prayer, and it's a great request, because where would be a man whom you could trust, a mortal on whom you could rely on? But we are relying on you, the Almighty, the immortal, unchangeable, eternal God. Work that in us, what you yourself would like to find on the day of your return. And let today your word go forth. Take me, O Lord, and I want to pray as your servant and prophet. Put me aside so that no one can be seen and can be heard but Jesus alone. Lord, overshadow us with a cloud of glory and lead us unto the Mount Tabor, unto the Mount of Transfiguration, where we may see you in your glory. Take everything away what disturbs, and give an heavenly atmosphere in which you are feeling at home, and where we are also coming to our right by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I had to think about on the chorus, on the other side there's no sorrow, on the other side there's just joy, on the other side there no one weeps anymore, on the other side there is our Lord. And when we think about the great privilege that we have there a home, an eternal home, then we look away from all troubles and sorrows, lifting up our hearts and heads, knowing that our Lord, who has redeemed us, he went to prepare a place for us, and that he will come again to take us unto himself, so that we are there where he is also. Blessed be his wonderful and glorious name. Very soon, the eternal morning will break forth, and time shall be no more. Now, we want to go into a brief word observation, and I would like to ask whether you don't mind if I take off my jacket. May I do that? Thank you. Because it's a bit warmer here than it is there where you are. Praise and thanks be unto God. Let us together read 2 Samuel chapter 24. There beginning our word observation. 2 Samuel 24. Here we read from verse 14. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Then from verse 19, and God came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. So far, this precious word of God. You all know David had counted the people, and God was very sad and was very angry about it, and a dying came among the people, and the prophet Gad then spoke to David in the name of the Lord. What stands out to me are two things. Firstly, that he bought the threshing floor, and secondly, that he himself wanted to build the altar to make an end to the dying amongst the people and to reconcile God. David didn't buy a pasture. He bought the threshing floor. You all know what is being done on a threshing floor. On the threshing floor, the wheat is threshed. When Gideon was busy to thresh the wheat on the threshing floor, an angel of the Lord came to him. Our Lord announced, or John announced of him, he will purge thoroughly his threshing floor. Here was a dying through the disobedience of a man, it came upon the people of God. And nevertheless, God, in his mercy and in his grace, he gave a prophetic instruction so that reconciliation could be given and so that the dying could come to an end. When I was reading this today, it really touched me deeply. Every word in the Bible, every context, everything what is written in the name of the Lord and happened in the commission of God has, of course, a significance. And all scripture was given by God and is profitable for doctrine, for the admonition, and for the edification, so that the man of God becomes perfect. Now we go straight to the Sermon on the Mount. And I think we spoke so much about the mysteries of God, and we heard about it. And perhaps our personal part we neglected a bit. It is time that we come to the point where God wants us to be, everyone personally and all of us together, so that he can bring to fulfillment the word which we heard. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount, we know it inside out, almost. Here the Lord speaks in Matthew 5 from verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I will not read chapter 6 and 7, because these are the three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of chapter 7, it's written, I read the last two verses, Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now we will see whether the Word of God will have to say so much to us as it had to say to the people then. Whether we, at the end of the observation of that, what the Lord said at that time, whether we'll be affected, whether we have heard things, and whether we were overwhelmed, so that we could say at the end, verily, he spoke with divine authority. And with this I mean really the Lord, because I just read what he has said. Beyond this, he lets us know and says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, ye are the light of the world. In verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that our Lord told the truth into the face of the people, and this to help. If this is our motive with everyone with whom we speak, that we want to help, then we will apply the Word of God in the right way, namely in the way as God wanted to have it applied. Every man whom God helped, his desire will be to help others. Whom God served, he also wants to serve others. And to this, we are here today, this afternoon. The whole flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers. We shall admonish one another. We shall help one another, doing priestly service for one another before the throne of our God. We must even, as the Holy Scripture says, as our Lord said it in the Gospel of Matthew, when you see your brother sin, then go and admonish him. There are certain things which we perhaps do not like doing, but for to which we were obligated by God to do them. It's of course not everything is a great sin. It's even written that disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. It is written, every unrighteousness and every vice is sin. It doesn't have to be a big crime. It can be the small foxes which spoil the vineyard of the Lord. And it can happen, and I want to give you an example, which just is about 1 hour ago. I came here into this building, and when I was sitting down here, I took my pocket mirror and I looked into this mirror, and I found out that when I was shaving myself, I cut myself, and the blood was running down here. And with this, for hours, I was walking around, and no man told me anything about it. In my heart, I was thinking, Lord, do you want to give me a lesson by this? I lean to it, to tell them who have seen me, to tell them, you didn't love me hot and with divine love. Otherwise, you would have said to me, Brother Frank, perhaps you just look into the mirror. How thankful I would have been for it. Now I was walking around like this, and the people who saw me, they must have thought by themselves, this man is indecent. His raggle tackle. Otherwise, he would have paid attention to himself. Let me transfer this example, which happened bodily on me, let me transfer it to the spiritual. We don't do a service to ourselves if we let ourselves walk as we walk. We only do a service to ourselves when we can say to us in love, my brother, just look into the mirror and open it up on chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so. Perhaps God wants to speak with you. If we really do this in divine love to help. And here's a point which I want to emphasize today. If we count with it, that the return of the Lord is drawing near, we must also agree with it to keep the divine rules and to do that what the Lord commanded us. Namely, to serve one another with the gift which God has given us. On one place, Paul writes to the Romans, the gift of whom has been given the gift of ministering, let him do it. And the gift of exhortation, to whom was given the gift of exhortation, let him exhort. Let him use this gift. Beloved, let us receive today practical instructions from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, because we want to stand our ground before him. Blessed are of a pure heart, for they shall see God and nobody else. And this pure heart, the pure mind, the divine nature of Jesus Christ must triumph over all earthly and over all human things. And the divine must rule over the earthly and must get it under control. To this it is necessary that from now on, radically, regardless of the consequences, that we keep the divine order. And I admonish myself and all of us with the word of the Lord. He said, if you see your brother sinning, go to him. Not go to Müller, Meyer and Schulze, but go to him. Go there where it must be gone. Speak with him whom shall be helped. And let the right words and let the right tone for the words be given to you so that the exhortation can bring forth fruit. It's a great evil under the sun. And this more than 30 years I watched it in the circles of the believers. That one doesn't go to the one, to the person concerned, but one goes to many others to speak about the person concerned. Is the person concerned helped that when we speak about him and that at its best he then even gets knowledge of it? No, and again no. Our Lord said, go to him and speak and admonish him. This is the way. If it doesn't, if there's no success, then we take a brother with us. And if this does not help, then we tell it to the church. Let from today on, beloved, it's preparation time. Preparation time for the last and greatest task which God has given to the church since the founding day, on that day of Pentecost. And because now at the end, it is about the greatest and about the mightiest things, we must take to heart the divine admonitions and instructions to be enabled by God to serve one another and to be in his service. Everything else can go on in the denominations, but this thing we may not take over in and continue to practice it, but we must behave as sons and daughters of God in this time. In Matthew 5, verse 21, it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Sometimes we have words in our vocabulary, we deal with it. Yeah. And then we think still the thing is in order, it's correct. No, we must return to the doctrine of Christ. And that what he says must have such a great impact in us as it was with them at that time who listened to him. And they said, this man, he teaches completely different than the scribes. He teaches with authority. In that what he said was divine authority, divine wisdom, divine instruction, divine help. Everything was there. God will also give us the grace. I am aware of that. He will help us because we are ourselves helpless. But one thing I found out, against our will, God will not do anything. We must lay our will into his will. And there is the great mystery. When our Lord said to the young man at that time, he said, thou shalt love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with your thinking, even with all your thinking. When we want to love God with our thinking, then we must think as he thought, namely in the limits of his word. We must then think so that we can submit under his will, saying yes to it. Our flesh unto death, it will resist against it. But right there is the proof that we didn't die yet if we resist against it. And here we come to the point, namely, when Paul could cry out, I am crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. The crucifixion took place for him. His will was crossed. The Lord met him. A new way started. A new life started. Everything has become new. There was no resistance on the inside. And I must say to me, Ewald Frank, this afternoon I must tell me, sometimes you resisted to submit under the mighty hand of God. And you were thinking to get through it, to get through with it. And God will not anyone let go through with it. We, from the first to the last, we have to submit under the mighty hand of our God. There's no other way to reach the destination. And when God has laid this willing into us, then he will also give grace and strength to do it. If we just say yes with all our hearts to him. There are many statements here which the Lord has said in this sermon. You can all read it. He says here, for instance, in chapter 5, verse 38, ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. In this Sermon on the Mount, it's the longest sermon which our Lord held and which was recorded. In this sermon, he emphasized perfection. And we see what requirements and demands are given. Even in the practical life of faith, certain things must be proven so that we can prove to be children of God. Many things could be said here, but I want to go now to the main word, which actually touches me very much. Before I do that, I read quickly 2 Corinthians 6, the last verses, and then we go to Ephesians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This word is addressed to the called out. Ye, my people, come out. And to the called out ones, this admonition goes forth. To them, this word is addressed. And we make up the temple of the living God. And God wants to dwell amongst us, walking amongst us. And we want to be available for him at all costs, so that he comes to his right on the earth. I will dwell among them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hosea 2, verse 1 probably. Ye who you were not my people shall be called sons of God. Here's a call addressed to the elect from all nations, tongues, and nations. I'm surprised, and we are all surprised, that the apostles mostly, they gave strong admonitions to the elect and to the loved ones. We are still all on the earth. We still need the help of God. We still need one another. And nobody of who are sitting here can say already, I have reached the destination. But we are of course coming together to admonish one another and to edify one another. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 4, the last verses. Firstly, one could read, start with verse 2. It says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then in verse 12, Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here the believers in their unity, in their setup, in their tasks are shown. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. God has given gifts. God has revealed his word by his grace. We know it's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and nevertheless, all these admonitions are necessary. It's a spiritual growing. As everything natural has life in itself, is growing, so everything what received spiritual life from God supernaturally, it is also growing. It is impossible that there can be something spiritual which comes from God, which has life in itself and which could not grow. This pulpit, this microphone, and everything what is dead, this cannot grow. But the most little tiny blade of grass has life in itself. And there where is life, there is growth. there where divine spiritual life is in your and my soul, there is divine and spiritual growth in your and my life of faith. And if we all are retarded ones, then God is very sad over us. I don't want to give you a naive or an earthly comparison, but you all know how sad it is when children of men are born into this world who have a damage and who are not developing properly. Beloved, such children of God, we don't want to be at no costs. Namely, he who is behind in growing, he will one day be left behind when the Lord Jesus returns to take his own home. And Paul writes, lest any of you turns out to be left behind in the grace of God. Let us not be spiritually retarded ones in our growing now and in our developing. Because if we are now spiritually retarded and not having part in the full growing, we one day will be part of them who are left behind. And this we don't want. I believe that God has given us a mighty message, and that God's word is a quickening word. Many times we have said it. On the living body of Jesus Christ, there are no dead members. There are dead memberships in dead denominations, but there are living members in the body of Jesus Christ. And now we are coming to this direct question, whether divine life flows through us, who we count ourselves as members of his body. Whether divine resurrection life can flow through us here on this earth. Not from you and not from me, but from God. But through faith, we open the channel so that the blessing of God can flow. And I think that Brother Branham was an extraordinary example for us here. God, through him, he demonstrated the resurrection power, showing it, letting it be effective. And we stand in the presence of God. And in the near future, we have to meet this. And we must understand that God has a called out church which is separated and which was submitted under the rulership of God, in which can be no disobedience and in which there can be no witchcraft anymore, but being fully obedient under the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that God's power can flow here through us. Even this decision and this will, God must lay into us. And if God has laid it into your heart, then start to jubilate and to rejoice. In the past days, I've experienced something wonderful. And I tell you, it's not so easy to lay one's own will into the will of God. For a Prussian like me, by no means at all. But by the grace of God, who is able to do all things, who takes the strong as a prey, and the stubborn, and who submits everything under him, what cannot submit, and then he will have his way, and he will reach his goal by his grace. For me, the two journeys in July and August didn't only mean one thing, that I've seen thousands, that I had the privilege to speak to a whole nations, again via TV and radio, to millions. On one day I could speak. All this in that moment, when God made me clear of what it is all about now, so to say, it was just peanuts for me. God seeks you and God seeks me so that he can get us there as a divine unity, putting us together, who we are walking in lockstep as one heart and one soul, divinely in agreement, tuned in, not agreeing with you and me, but agreeing according to the word of God, being prepared to walk forward, and this at all costs. And there's a word in Psalms which says, blessed is he that who swears to his own hurt and changes not. If it shall be for your natural damage, but would bring an advantage to the kingdom of God, then renounce what could be a benefit for you and let Christ be your gain. So that we can say together with Paul, what was gain for me before, this now I count loss, and I count it as dung for the mercy's sake which was given to him. I almost have reached this point now with the help of God, to call dung, dung, and to call world, world, and to call sin, sin, and to call disobedience, disobedience. That the things are struck by light, and then they are separated. You know, good and evil, truth and lie, light and darkness, these things, sometimes they can be very close to one another. When I read the word from 2 Samuel, that David, on the threshing floor, he wanted to build an altar to the Almighty God. There, something came into my soul, and I thought by myself, Lord, this is now the harvest time. The wheat is being brought in, and the Lord wants to purge his floor thoroughly, so that the wheat can be brought there. Not only that one threshes on it, but that an altar is built on the threshing floor. Everybody can thresh. Everyone can take the flail. And some who are older than I or younger, they know what it meant. What it meant. When one has threshed with a flail. But this man of God, Him the Lord didn't say, take now the flail and go there on go on the threshing floor and then hit and bash, but build the field on which the threshing floor is and build an altar on it. Beloved, the field of our God is there where the, for them for whom the Lord paid the price. On Calvary, the divine altar was built, and there's no harvesting of the wheat without the building of the divine altar. Here a thought came to me of the prophet Elijah, because it's of course written that the Lord promised the prophet Elijah he wanted to send it before the great and terrible day. Elijah gathered the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Israel, and he built the altar of the Lord God of Israel, who was torn down. He rebuilt it. The ministry of Brother Branham would have missed its impact if not the divine altar was rebuilt in the church, and the doctrine of the 12 apostles were not put upon the lampstand, and that we as children of God would be ready to lay ourselves upon this altar. I tell you, it's much easier to take an ox at its horns and to kill it and to lay it on the altar than we ourselves would let ourselves be bound, laying ourselves onto the altar. But the time has come, and our Lord said to Peter, when you were younger, you were girding yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you get older, another one will gird you, and you will not be able to go anymore where you like. The time has come for me and for you. You and my way has come to its end. The way of our God is opening before us, and we see an open door through which we walk. I just want that we not only carry a divine message worldwide, I want to experience the day where this divine altar on the threshing floor, where the wheat is brought in, is rebuilt, and that all children of God recognize that it's only that it only happened for Calvary's sake, that we by grace were saved, and that we are not, that we may be wheat and not tares. I emphasize, the man didn't just buy a pasture or a fruit garden or a vineyard, but he bought the field on which the threshing floor was, and on the threshing floor the wheat is threshed. The man did what we would do, what we must do, and what is fulfilled before our eyes. Not only wheat field, not only threshing floor, rebuilding of the divine altar on the field which God has chosen to bring in his harvest. And in the name of the Lord, there will be a great harvest, as it became visible that we not only have a threshing floor and threshing, but an altar was rebuilt. Beloved, before an altar, before the altar of the Lord, we all must worship, bowing our heads, saying, Lord, you let yourself be beaten for me. You paid the price for me. You redeemed me. I'm yours. Take me. Beloved, the fear of God must return into the church. All tongues must be purged by the divine fire. All hearts must be cleansed. All minds. And into the most inner part of our soul it must penetrate. And we must become partakers of the divine nature as we naturally have become partakers of the fallen nature of Adam without our adding by the natural birth. So we, by the new birth, we became partakers of the divine nature of Christ, for he is the firstborn among many brethren. Now, you may say, how shall all this happen? Holy Spirit will come upon us, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow us. And that, what is born in us, is of course son or daughter of God, is something divine after the image of Jesus Christ. It has not yet become manifested what we shall be, but very soon it shall be manifested. May God use this word observation. May he bless it in us. May we understand that the dying stopped when this field with a threshing floor was purchased and when the altar was built according to the instruction of God by the prophet God to David. And we believe that God has sent a prophetic message addressing it to us to restore all things, to rebuild and to restore. From now on, let us not seek for any excuse for human failures. Let us condemn it as God condemns it. Let us call it as God calls it. And let us say, Lord, take us fully and make us overcomers. Make us true children of God. I wanted to read the word still at the end of the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 4, it's written. The liar shall no more lie, and so forth. Everything is listed here. But I think the time is far spent now. But because I was just reminded on it, let me read it so that you know that it's written. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. He who lied, let him lie no more. He who is of the truth, let him speak the truth. And the truth is God's word. And he who is born of God, he has received the spirit of truth and is penetrated by the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the slanderer, to the devil. This is addressed to us. The Ephesians were the outstanding church which Paul concerning the use of the gifts, he didn't need to rebuke at all. He spoke of the election, of the predestination, of all these deep divine truths. But then he lets down the hammer and he admonishes right them whom he addressed before. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Everything is listed in this register. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, if only would speak those things which would bring blessing to the hearers, then 95% would be silent. And if this 5% who really have to say something would speak, then also the next 95% could also be blessed. It continues, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Even people who were sealed with the Holy Spirit, they are put into the light of God. This is clearer than any X-ray photo. Sometimes one has to make 2 X-rays before one sees correctly. But with God, if we are put into it like this, and if we are struck by the divine light, then it comes to fulfillment. In his light, we see the light. Has God in you and in me? Could God work the preparedness to make us available for him for at all costs? And then he will come to his right by his grace. May his blessing rest upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.